The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
People need advice. That's what we do on Tuesdays at this time. 1-800-947-3979. You need some advice, we'll be happy to help out as best we can. Maybe you need a coin toss, a 50-50 decision. We can do that too with the world's largest coin. This is interesting. It says, I need a small bit of advice today. This might be hard for us.
Okay.
I think we're biased in this case. We do company-wide meetings every Tuesday, and today it's my department's turn to talk about our productivity numbers.
Okay.
Our boss asked if I could go up there with him and talk about it. I'm flattered, yes. But hate getting in front of a crowd. Don't get me wrong. If I knew everyone personally, I would do it. Our company's only 100 people or so. But I have bad stage fright. Did I do the right thing by telling him I couldn't do it? He did not seem to be upset by me saying no. But am I throwing away an opportunity by saying no? Should I just suck it up and do it?
Stage fright is real.
Yeah,
it is.
It is.
It's crippling.
But if you can do it, I mean... You said, like, you can muster it if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yes, you probably are limiting yourself if you can't ever host a meeting.
But it,
I mean, when you're in charge, at some point, you have to do things like that.
But to your point,
like
if it is that crippling and you're going to freeze up or really struggle or sweat or drool or
right.
God knows what.
Yes, if it's
perfectly,
debilitating.
Perfectly acceptable to sit it out.
Agreed. If right? it's debilitating. If
yeah.
it's just uncomfortable. Then you should suck it up.
Because it's a presentation, right? She said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's doing it. And so once you do it, you realize how it's not as bad as you've made it out to be in your head, right? Like that feeling of when you're about to jump off of something that's really not that far from the ground, like your feet can almost touch it kind mm-hmm. of thing, or you could stand up and be taller than where you're about to jump off of, but it's still terrifying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same exact feeling. And it's just not as bad as like you ever think.
Yeah.
Just listening for sirens.
Yeah. Yeah. Fire trucks going by.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Activity.
Do you have stage fright, Maitland?
It's less and less,
yeah.
I think.
I think we've all been exposure trained.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like doing speeches in high. I didn't mind it because I thought I could get a laugh or whatever, but I didn't love it. I'd be glad when it was over, but I would enjoy it while I was doing it. That's the weird thing.
I think I don't have it with our crowds at our live shows.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist then. But getting
if you had
in front
to go
of,
speak at a charity event.
Yeah. Or last summer, my boyfriend's family had a big benefit event and they had a big old stage there and musicians going back and forth, so I would get up there and do stage announcements and stuff. But yeah, they had so many particular things you wanted to say. We couldn't call anybody who you would normally call a sponsor. We had to call them like partners in charity. Mm-hmm. And so like trying to remember that, but also trying to keep things light and fun, but also we're like, hey, we've got this sad military memorial thing also happening, so check that out. But It's not being able to be silly. I think in moments where I have to be serious,
yeah.
I get more stage fright.
Yeah. Hobbings, did you have stage fright before and do you have it now?
I had a little bit of it. I would get nervous. I still get nervous depending on the situation. At a night show, unfazed. And I'm less phased in front of strangers than I am in front of people I know mm-hmm. and who know me, because then I put certain expectations on myself, like, well, I don't want them to think that I suck or whatever.
Like if you had to do a presentation at work at a full meeting, that would...
I wouldn't like that.
Really?
I would do it, but I wouldn't like it as much, or in front of, yeah, when I, you know, standing up in front of smaller groups where I know people,
yeah,
I find it more nerve-wracking. I can do it. Mm-hmm. I was able to always put it together and, do different presentations in classes and school and stuff like that. But, because I'll dig out the performer like ham.
Right. Kelly, what about you? But,
oh, yeah.
Stage fright?
Oh, yeah. Even at our live shows. And
still now?
Yeah. It takes once we get through the opening monologue, I'm pretty good. Like when we do the intro and then we kind of talk for 10, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Once I'm past that, I'm good. But the year that we did the impromptu TED Talks.
Yeah.
Every time I'd grab the mic, my hands would be shaking. And I'm like, man, people see this and they could tell.
Really?
I'm nervous. I'd be sick. So there's.
Oh, God, I love that segment.
Yeah. And it was so much fun. I loved it every time, but it is nerve wracking.
Yeah.
And then if I'm put on the spot to do like a quick cheers or like to welcome everybody to like a family reunion or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's nowhere near as bad for me. But yeah, the stage fright for sure.
I think this job sort of takes it out of you. Because you're exposed over and over again. And after a while, Steve, no, you disagree?
If I'm on stage, I'm not comfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Even now?
Yeah. I mean, I'm able to get to a point where I'm able to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But at no point do I feel like I belong up here.
So like when we get done with a Live at Night show, you're relieved?
Usually it's once the show is, for me, it's more anxiety about things not going right and technical stuff.
Right.
And that kind of takes over for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to use that as my shield to be like, all right, I'm not super comfortable up here, but I can't think about that because I got to worry about this stuff first.
Yeah. I just make sure the sausage can still be made.
Yes.
Back to the person who asked for advice. I don't think it's not going to ruin your career if you, but you're never going to be asked to be the lead on something mm-hmm. either. So maybe it is. That was talk right there, wasn't it?
Well, tell your boss, look, I want to say yes. I'm painfully nervous though.
Yeah.
And see if they might say, oh yeah, me too. Every time.
Yeah.
And it becomes, I think I just talked about this with my neighbors. Mm-hmm. Stage fright or public speaking is one of the biggest fears worldwide.
It's like death and then that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's very real.
Mm-hmm. So people understand. They get it. But also, you're probably talking about something you know about. They're not asking you to sing a song.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're just talking about how your department is performing, it's probably a series of slides or something or a PowerPoint that's like, well, here's productivity. Here's it. Just read it.
A little self-deprecation goes a long way. You know, our department's thriving in spite of the fact that it's filled with people like me,
that may work.
But you got to be able to sell it.
Well, that doesn't. Yeah. That may not work in that environment.
That's
though.
True. It might be a very dry room.
That would work for us. Yeah.
All right. This people need advice. I used Airbnb for the first time this weekend. Not sure how or if I should review the host. The place smelled was dirty. Cobwebs in the corner. Bathroom had dirty corners and dead bugs. They have a 4.35 rating and are a super host. Not sure how they are rated so high. 235 reviews, and it shocks me. Worse than the bachelor pad I lived in back when I didn't care to clean as much. What should I do?
I mean...
Well, review them.
Review it.
I would review them honestly.
Yeah. I would too.
Yeah.
I mean, sucks for them.
Yeah.
But if it's dirty and there were bugs in the corners,
mm-hmm.
that's worthy of a poor review, right?
I mean,
you would expect...
Absolutely.
If you got that review, you would... And you found bugs in the corners, Kelly, because you have an Airbnb.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten small complaints before because the bed wasn't a king size bed, which is always funny to me. Or my house is really old, so people will make comments about the house is just it's pretty old. So if you're looking for something newer, literally says 100-plus-year-old house, lots of old charm in it.
Yeah, you can kind of tell from the pictures alone.
But if there were, because like for instance, when we go on vacation, if I'm out of town, I usually do all the cleaning. But when I'm gone, I pay somebody to do it. So if they didn't show up for some reason and I didn't know that, or if they did show up, but it was somebody who was new who didn't do a very good job cleaning,
mm-hmm.
I would want the person who came in to let me know right away, hey, this is a little disheveled. This sounds like it's messy. You don't walk into an Airbnb and expect to see bugs and cobwebs.
No.
It's pretty basic cleaning.
I wouldn't accept that anywhere.
Yeah. Like if they're running their hands on top of my fridge and saying the top of your fridge is dusty, I'd be like, all right, back off.
Yeah. Get off my fridge.
Right.
Yeah.
But if there's cobwebs and stuff, you absolutely. A lot of times too, I think when you're doing a really bad review or when you're giving them a lower score, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, if it's bad enough, they contact the host, and then they'll also contact you to ask specifically what was wrong. Because when you're reviewing anything, it's like, did you like the property? Oh, yeah, 5 stars. What'd you like about it? It was cozy. It was clean.
Pretty generic.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you're giving it 1 star, a lot of times it'll have you do that. And then Airbnb support should reach out.
That makes sense.
I mean, I would, yeah, I'd be
bummed. I would let them have it. I mean, you don't have to be cruel, but tell the truth.
Yeah.
Unless you're just to have crazy expectations and it's not that big of a deal. Like if there's a, you know, if there's 6 cockroaches dead in a corner, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
If it's like one little tiny web weaver that showed up next to, like in the corner by a toilet that somebody might just miss, and that's your bugs and cobwebs.
Yeah. Or like then, ladybugs in the spring. You can't help but having ladybugs in your windows in the spring. Right. That's going to happen.
So it,
you can clean them up and you're going to have a couple by the end of the weekend when you're staying somewhere. Or flies if you're leaving back doors open.
Sure.
Because you're welcome to do that at my house. But I mean, yeah, if you walk in and it's messy like that, that's gross. You don't want to pay for that.
Yeah, this text says, outrageous. You need to contact the host about the issues before reviewing. Why? They knew you were coming.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, you didn't. It wasn't a surprise that you showed up.
I mean, it'd be one thing if you review, like if you got there and the ceiling had collapsed because there had been a water leak and you're like, ah, the ceiling was on the floor.
Yeah.
That would be rude.
Yeah, I mean, you can if you want. I mean, if they were super nice to you and everything was great otherwise, I mean, maybe out of a courtesy, you just say, hey, maybe you missed these spots.
But you don't owe anyone anything.
No.
That's all.
And one bad review is not going to ruin them, especially if they're a super host.
Mm-hmm. All right, listen to this. Every fall, my sister, cousins, and cousin's sister-in-law have a weekend shopping excursion. We stay in a hotel, treat ourselves, shop for our children, go out for lunches and dinners. It's kind of just a fun weekend. It's a bit of a tradition. Time to reconnect. I have a sister who I'll call Wendy that we do not invite. She is offended to the point of tears when she finds out we have not invited her. My two sisters and I are close in age, but Wendy hasn't been as close to this set of cousins as my sister and I have been through the years. We're all married, stay-at-home moms. Wendy is divorced and a working mom with one young child.
Oh.
There are several reasons not to include her.
Okay.
We know she doesn't have very much money for such an outing. She also does not have many of the same interests as we do. Her life is very different. We're not interested in what she has to talk about. She claims to have some kind of neurological disease that some of us feel is more psychosomatic than real, and she uses it to avoid getting up for church on Sundays. Well, you see,
devil woman,
like the judgiest a-hole ever.
A divorced single mom who works.
God, I just love to hang out with you guys. Enough.
She also complains about her ex-husband who left her for another woman, but everyone knows it takes two to tango, and she's not without fault.
Oh boy, okay.
We're all big churchgoers, and she only sporadically attends. Plain and simple, she just doesn't fit in with us.
She shouldn't.
But she does take it very personally, and last year even came over to my house unannounced, crying about it, which upset my children. And caused my husband to threaten to call the police if she didn't leave.
Oh, my God. You guys are the worst.
Now she barely speaks to me and has told her relatives that I'm a terrible person, even though I've tried to help her.
No, you haven't. You're a
How can
butthole.
We get her to understand that we don't exclude her because we don't dislike her?
You do dislike her. You are completely ignoring her because you dislike her.
Yeah, everything you just said tells all of us that you don't care for her. And then you ended it very confusingly by saying you like her.
You're basically saying you want her to understand that why you don't want her there.
Yeah, like,
I mean,
okay,
that's ridiculous.
Get married, come back to church, and stop talking about your life in ways that we don't care for, and then we'll like you again. No, it sounds like your sister just needs to go make new friends, which really sucks.
Y'all sound awful.
For her, yeah.
Yeah. You're doing her a favor. She just doesn't know it.
Yeah, right? That would be hurtful, though.
Yeah, of course it would be hurtful.
I mean, your sisters don't want you to go?
It would be absolutely hurtful.
All those excuses, though. Oh, yeah, well, she doesn't have as much money. Okay, well,
oh,
she doesn't have to buy things. You could go and have fun without buying things.
Yeah.
And that's up to her.
Yeah.
It's her money. You don't get to set her budget.
We have, in our group of friends here locally, we have a couple of us who we're not married, we don't have kids, and it's easy to be able to go out and we can try new places and have good cocktails and things like that. We fully understand some of our friends aren't on that budget. And some of our friends don't have that time because they have kids and newborns and things like that. But we, especially a friend, if they're having a hard time like that, I'm going to send that side text and be like, I'm just using you as an example, Maitland. But I'd say, Maitland, I know it's been a rough one. You come out, my treat tonight. Like, come out, no sweat.
That would be a friend thing to do.
Right. Even if you want to pay, I'm still going to Venmo you money just so you can come out worry free, not even sweat it. And that's, I feel like that's what you do when you know somebody is financially struggling and wants to be involved. Like you help or make them feel comfortable or just adjust the place you're going to so that they can come along.
Like, God forbid.
Be a friend.
Right. And if they don't want to, then you still invite and they can decide, I can't afford it right now. But thanks for the invite. It feels nice to be invited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For as many times as you mentioned church in your request for advice, you didn't mention what Jesus would do. But I'm sure he would also stay away from that single mom who has a neurological disorder.
That tracks. That tracks.
Yeah. I'm sure he was. Yeah. He was never for the poor and the beaten down and the weary.
Yeah.
That was not his brand.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
No, he only liked designer cocktails.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He kept his shirt on his
and
back.
Travel sports.
Yeah.
On the way, more people need advice. Do you need some? 1-800-947-3979.